Sister Girlfriend, it's your girlfriend next door and friendship coach, Andrea. Listen, I'm posting a video for a little explanation of where I've been. But if you don't want to watch that video, and you know, guys, I'm fidgety. Look, first of all, how do I start this? I am just super excited to be back. I have, the last time we spoke, I had come back from that 21-day vacation. Remember that? And I told you guys all about it. But what I didn't tell you is when I was in Las Vegas, you guys, literally from the parking lot to the hotel, I was out of breath. I didn't know why. Just to share a little bit about me, I'm anemic. So I just simply thought I haven't been disciplined, haven't been taking my iron. And if anyone's anemic, you know that your muscles and your body has to work a little bit harder when your blood levels are low. So I just, honey, I charged it to the game. But long story short, I came back home. I'm just telling y'all all the business. So I came back home, you guys, and I had a girlfriend of mine who's also a fabulous jeweler in Atlanta. She's a African-American female jewelry designer. She called me up and she was like, hey, girl, when I was on vacation, she was like, hey, you want to go to do you want to go to Hawaii? Now, as many places I've been, I've actually never been to Hawaii. So as though it was so tempting, I had to turn her down because I was like, I'm just getting back from the 21 days. So like literally I was home. My husband was like, aren't you supposed to be going to Hawaii? And I said, no. He was like, I thought you was going to go. Now, the one thing that you do not say to Andrea is, oh, I thought you were going. Don't say that to me. Please don't say that to me, because I was like, well, you ain't said nothing but a word. Let me get, oh, it's COVID prices right now on these flights. So I went on, I checked the airline, the ticket, and it was a reasonable price for me. And I said, okay, I'm booking, I'm coming. Now, mind you, she had already been out there a couple of days. So I was just, if I go that far, I had to stay at least a week. So I didn't realize, you guys, there's so many hoops you have to go through to actually go to Hawaii. Like, they're really strict, but I really appreciate it because their COVID numbers are extremely low. So I had to take like COVID tests. It was a mess because I ended up having to go like an hour from my house trying to get what is it called? The rapid test, because I didn't realize that when they said 72 hours, it was just, I didn't know anything. So long story short, I did get the test in time, flew out to Hawaii, had a great time, nice experience, met some really great people. And you can see some of the pictures and stuff like that on my Instagram at Your Girlfriend Next Door. Had a great time. She ended up extending her trip. She had a fabulous room. I forgot what the hotel we were staying in, but she had a suite that we shared. It had like 2 full bathrooms, 3 balconies, and we literally had a 360 degree view of the ocean. We were oceanfront, so it was a very nice experience. I ended up leaving her, and I wanted to experience the Ritz-Carlton, so I went over there for like a little while just to experience that. But we still would meet up and have dinner, so on and so forth. But let me fast forward all that to when I was on my way home. I felt great. I mean, of course, one of the silly things that I did, I did not wear a coat. I thought, let me just layer. But what happened when I came back to the DMV area, honey, it started snowing. And when it started snowing, I wasn't really prepared. So I was going from like 80 plus degree weather to freezing cold weather. But I still didn't think anything of it because I stayed inside until my husband pulled up to pick me up. But the next day, you guys, and hold on, and I'm going to tell you why this is a celebration, but I'm going to pour up first. And this, if you watch this on YouTube, this is one of my favorite inexpensive inexpensive sparkling wines that you can find. And when I say inexpensive, like, it's cheap, you guys. If you are at Wegmans, and what's the name? I don't want to mess this name up. I think it's called Dibon Cava. It's a Cava. It's a Brut Reserve. I will hold it up for you guys. Boom, there you go. But the reason why I'll tell you I'm celebrating this is because of what I'm about to tell you. So I came back home, had this tremendous headache. I thought the headache was because I wore a baseball cap that said, you know, Hawaii. My hair was a mess. I didn't feel like combing it. And I took a red eye anyway. So I was just like, I don't really care. Let me just put this hat on, get out of here. And the next day I woke up, I had this huge headache. I felt like it was a migraine. So I was just like, oh, I got a migraine. I haven't had one of these in years. So I just laid in the bed. I was tired anyway. But I, for whatever reason, couldn't shake the headache. And I'm fast forwarding the story because I already made a video about this. But I thought everything that I was feeling, you guys, felt like I had COVID. So because I had already taken two COVID tests that were negative, I thought to myself, if I have COVID, you know, they're all they're going to tell me is to go home, get plenty of rest fluids, so on and so forth. And until, like, unless I felt like I'm about to die, I was like, I'm not going to go to the hospital. So it came to the point where I felt like I was about to die. I was like, oh, shoot, I can't breathe. I can't walk up the steps. What's going on? And then my husband was like, you need to go. So he takes me down to urgent care. They run two COVID tests on me. The rapid comes back negative. The next one comes back within like 24 to 48 hours, still negative. I'm running a high temp. They give me a shot. Fluids. They told me to go home and rest if I don't feel better, that I definitely need to go to the ER. So I was like, okay. Well, I wasn't getting any better. Oh, crap. Here it goes. Now, if you have a spouse, you know, it, that's when it really kicks in, because when you have someone observing you and they're really not seeing you be your normal self, it's kind of scary because, you know, we've been together forever. So when he sees me sick, it's like, something's wrong. You going to the hospital. So I get to the hospital and I'm explaining, you know, what my symptoms are. Of course, they want to run a COVID test. I told them I had just had one, but they said we got to do everything to be sure. I explained, was like, so what have you been doing? I told them I've been traveling. I have been on, like, I think it was like 5 or 6 different flights. I have been, you know, just traveling a lot in a short period of time. Well, the physician felt like I had a blood clot. He was like, we need to make sure you don't have a blood clot because that's what it sounds like. So now I'm freaking out. All I'm having visions of, and if you guys ever remember this, when Tamar Braxton was on Dancing with the Stars and she had that blood clot and she looked a mess in the hospital, that stuff was scary. So I just was like, oh no, you know, that could be life threatening, a blood clot. So ran tests, took the CAT scan, MRIs, well, all that stuff they did. Found out, you don't have a blood clot. But what you do have is pneumonia. I said, pneumonia? Wait a minute. How I get pneumonia? Is it contagious? I said, wait, is it contagious? Did I touch somebody and get it? Did I sit in the wrong seat? What exactly did I do? And then, you know, he was explaining it's not necessarily contagious. You know, it was just all these different things. So I'm like freaking out because, you know, I'm thinking at the time, you know, because of COVID, you can't have anyone come back to the back with you in the hospital. So I'm texting my husband, you know, the process of everything that I'm going through. And I'm like, okay, people pass away from pneumonia. Like, this could be very serious. And, so then I said, okay, I'm thinking I'm going to have to stay in the hospital. So, you know, at this point, you know, unless it's like really, really bad, the way our medical system is now, they try not to have you stay in the hospital. They do everything possible for you to be able to self-medicate, be all right at home. So They gave me all this medication while I was in the hospital, fluids, doing all this stuff that was there. So I was released, eventually sent home, given all this medication I needed to take. And I felt like, you guys, now you know, your girl loves to indulge in her cocktails. Not an alcoholic, but you know, I like a little glass of wine here or there. Really didn't drink much when I was in Hawaii because I wasn't really with people who like to drink. So, you know, I had, you know, a few cocktails, but it wasn't like a turn up. Definitely not a vacation turn up. It was more like chill, which I appreciated. It's not like I can't have fun with alcohol, but I just know in comparison to like any other type of vacation I would have sometime, especially, you know, my husband, we like to have a good time. So it was like, you know, one cocktail with dinner, no cocktail. But I did meet up with my other friends who actually live out there, and they like to turn up. So, but that particular day, I wasn't feeling well. I didn't even think about that. I wasn't feeling well. And I remember them saying to me, Andrea, you taking it slow today. Like, you a lightweight. And I think I had two cocktails with them, but they were more like Hawaiian cocktails, like Mai Tai and, you know, probably mostly juice, but it's okay. We're getting there. So I come back home. They tell me I have pneumonia. So I'm taking like, it felt like let me count the pills, 2, 4, 6, and then 7, 8. And then like for the first few days, I'm taking like 9 pills a day. And for me, that is a lot. 9 pills, you know, for me to get down. And, you know, they told me that I needed to make sure I took either like some kombucha, probiotic, because these pills were going to, you know, they're probably going to mess up my stomach. So I'm dealing with that, not feeling good. Then, you know, I'm trying to, also I had to take Tylenol because I'm running a fever, trying to break the fever. It was just a hee-haw mess. Okay. That was so country. That was so country, but it was like a mess, you guys. And all I was waiting for was to get better. So then I had my play brother came in town. We had planned this like a few months back. And we were going to go to dinner at one of his restaurants that he likes. And the one thing that I was so upset. The one thing that I was known for at this restaurant that they had named a drink after me. I called it the Victoria. You know, that's my middle name, Andrea Victoria. And I was so bummed that I couldn't have my special cocktail at this place because I was still on the medication. So fast forward till today, I took my last pill on Sunday, like around 11 or 12 o'clock, 11 in the morning, 12 o'clock afternoon on Sunday. So yesterday, which was National Margarita Day, I wanted to do the podcast yesterday. So I was like on the keyboard, like looking when, how soon and when can I have a cocktail after I finish this medication? Well, you guys, it told me 72 hours. And I was like, I'm bummed because I wanted to pull out the 1942 and cheers it up on National Margarita Day with my best friends and girlfriends. That's what I wanted to do. But unfortunately, I was like, it's not worth it because if I got sick, if I had to, it just was like, I don't feel, I had that happen to me one time down in Miami. I was about to turn up with my girls and I thought, you know, oh, I'm finished with my medication. And I think I had taken the last one that particular day. Child, honey, I took a sip of something. I walked out that hotel and everything in me went everywhere. It was a mess. So I just reminisced on that moment and just said, it's not worth it. Let's just wait a couple of days. So the reason why I had to pour this up is because this is my first sip and I'm taking it with you guys. This is my first sip since coming back from Hawaii. And the pneumonia, and I'm feeling better. So it's time to celebrate with a little sparkling wine. And are you here for it? So pick up your glass. If you have some water, coffee, cocktail, whatever you're doing while you listen to me, let's take a pause. And we will get this started because I'm so excited. Now, Lord, please, let me hear where I go. Please do not let me get sick. Please let that antibiotic have passed out of my system. Please let me enjoy this moment. Okay. Amen. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Y'all, one more time. It's been a long time. I feel like singing the song. But okay, let's back up a bit. So I missed, because of my illness, I missed Valentine's Day, Galentine's Day, but it was some things on my heart that I need to talk about. And girl, I was sick, but I was still able to scroll through Instagram, look at y'all TikToks, look at everything that was going on during this time. And ladies, we need to talk. I mean, it's so many different movements that are, you know, going on. And I don't want to step on anyone's toes. Everyone is able to have their own opinions, including myself. And I feel like, excuse me, now that I had the bubbly, you know, Lord, excuse me so much. I'm sorry I had the bubbly. But everyone's entitled to their feelings, how they feel. But, you know, I just kept hearing a lot of what I would consider to be, I don't want to say it was negative, but it wasn't necessarily the most positive things for a day that was supposed to be representative of love and thoughtfulness and joy and happiness. I just, you know, of course you had those who, like Sierra, she had, Russell did some beautiful things for her. I mean, there are couples that are out there, and, you know, some famous, some not famous, that truly, truly have a love for one another, and they share it, and it's beautiful to actually see and observe. And I appreciate it. But I want to direct what I'm saying to the ladies who, you know, right now we have a lot of women who have started businesses, who have, you know, that are very accomplished in their careers. And the one thing that I see that they feel that they're missing is companionship, you know. And a lot of times the things that they're saying is not very positive when it comes to our male counterparts. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you, most of the stuff that they're saying and they're experiencing and dating, even though I'm not currently dating, I'm with them, because I'm looking at it like, what is going on? But in that, the part that I don't understand, you know, what did I used to say? You kiss a lot of frogs before you find your prince, right? You know, I just, you know, maybe. And I want to preface this by saying, you guys know I am a Black woman. So this is from my African American experience in the United States. Okay. And what I want to say is, when I see my sisters dating, and some of the comments that come back, and basically they're just like, you know, there's this, I don't want to name names, but there's this campaign that's currently going around that we don't need men. You know, we have our own money. If we want you, it's because we want you, so on and so forth. And a lot of times I wonder, you know, not I wonder, but I do understand some of this stuff is coming from a very hurt place. You know, you've been hurt by someone that you cared about. Let me just say this before I even get started. I don't care how much money you have. what the accomplishment is, what the dynamic is, what the degrees you hold. At the end of the day, ladies, I will never be convinced. Never. I don't care if you got $28 million sitting in a Roth IRA, if you have $30 million in the bank. I really do not care. At the end of the day, the human experience, when we just get down to the basics, we all want someone to care for and someone to care for us, especially a woman. I'm not saying that doing things, because traditions are kind of out now. You know, women have children, are not married. Like, I'm not knocking anybody who doesn't do like the traditional thing. Like, if you have the baby, you know, it didn't work out between your baby's father or whatever, it doesn't even matter. Love is love. Companionship is companionship. And I'm saying all this because I came to a conclusion on what the issue is. In my own opinion, I really truthfully feel that, ladies, we or you, because I'm married, it's time to stop looking in the lakes and the rivers and open yourself up to the ocean. What do I mean by that? All we have this huge movement of everybody is traveling to these different countries. People are becoming different countries. I want to say that. People are becoming world citizens, meaning that they are having experiences beyond the border. They are crossing oceans or seas. Like, you are crossing water and having these experiences, amazing experience. I see it all over the Instagram, all over. I see it. People are having, even here, Happy Girls Travel, even me. I mean, I'm not in a market, but my mindset, if you are open enough to be able to cross seas, cross water, cross oceans, go and have all these beautiful experiences, why are we so closed-minded when it comes to allowing ourselves to be open and vulnerable to meeting someone that could be right for us? Why are we only looking at the Chattahoochee River or the Potomac River? Why are we only looking at a 20-mile radius of our house? Like, I'm being so serious. Like, what is stopping you from being open to a different experience? Because if you're constantly doing the same thing, what do they say? You're going to get the same result. So, you know, I feel like, you know, when it comes to women, and I mean, when I say women and men, of course, we are most comfortable most times with our own and those who have experienced what we have experienced. But what I can say is, once you leave the borders of the United States and you allow your mind to open, what we have experienced is not the most positive things. Every time I leave the outline of the U.S. and I come back, I feel some kind of way. I feel like this last time. Yeah, one of the last times I left, it was right before the riot that happened at the Capitol. And I saw the type of people that were at the airport. And I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I knew those people were some of the same people that were at the Capitol. And they, you know, I mean, let's be honest, those people feel some kind of way, right? They feel there may be racist. I mean, let's just be honest. I have to just put it out there. They may be racist. And let me just say this. When we talk about racism, I don't think it's anything necessarily wrong with you wanting to be with your people. I don't think it's anything wrong with that. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel. But for those of you who are in a place of openness, a place of open-mindedness, I just want to talk to those ladies and gentlemen. Why are we just looking in our lakes? You know the lake is not that big. Why are we looking in at the river? You know the river ain't flowing that far. Honey, we got to cross oceans sometime to find what you really need and what's good for you. A different experience is okay. So when I see these young ladies who, you know, and I'm speaking... Oh, I hate to say this. I'm speaking to those women who are more accomplished than not, because that's where I'm seeing the complaints from the most. Those women who are more accomplished than not are having the issues of wanting to date an African-American man who has either the same or similar experience. And let's just be honest. I'm gonna break this down to you guys. If you find a man, a black man, and he is accomplished as much as you are, let's say 1 million and 1 million. Let's just look at the equation: 1 million and 1 million, 100,000, 100,000, 50,000 to 50,000. That man is going to have so many more options available to him than you ever would. And that's just the truth. I mean, there's just not a lot of African-American men to go around to some of the women who are very accomplished. And it's unfair. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not unfair. It's unfair. I mean, I'm married to a black man, but I realize if something were to happen with us, I know based on the experience I've had in this relationship, I'm going to have to date outside of my race. Because for one, what I've experienced with him is probably not the normal experience that I probably would have with another African-American man. I'm saying it's a true statement. Some people are just black unicorns. Kill me now. Some people are just black unicorns. Like, they're rare. It's the diamond you can't find. You have some diamonds might be, look how the scale go. You have the D's all the way to the F's. You have the S1s all the way to the SVV, whatever. Some of them go be over here and some go be down here. Now, even with that, he's still not perfect. But I just know with the experience, what he's open to, what he likes to do, the experiences that he have, it's just not the normal situation. And I know I may get in trouble for this conversation. Sip time. Let's sip. But, you know, from my friend's perspective, all of them always say, you know, Andrea loves love. Andrea wants everyone to be in love, which I do. I feel like if it were my way, everybody would find someone by 25 and have a beautiful life of togetherness, happiness, joy, beautiful. If you're able to have your children, like, I love that scenario. I mean, I'm not saying it's for everyone. I mean, I don't care if you gay, straight, or happy, whatever. My thing is, I feel like I wish everyone had the opportunity to find their person. For those who are watching, I'm about to do a little powder break. But I just feel that everyone should be able to find their person. And it's sad, honestly, when you go your entire life and you find a person, but you know, that person may not have been the exact one for you, and you experienced something that was very negative. It puts a bad taste in your mouth. Like, it makes me sad, honestly. It's some beautiful, 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 beautiful women on the inside and out who have never had the opportunity to experience that type of joy. It's some beautiful, beautiful men on the inside and out who have not even allowed themselves to be vulnerable. Let's just be honest. Vulnerable enough to have that type of experience. And, you know, it's always, to me, it's a little scary. It's a little scary how our society is moving in a way of, I don't need you. I can do bad by myself. I saw what my mom went through with my dad. I saw what my mom went through with my stepdad. I saw, like, you guys, it's so much trauma that people have experienced out there. And one of the things is, you know, as a life coach, I work with people who've experienced the trauma. But what I also see is a lot of people, it takes them a long time to be honest with themselves. It takes a while for them to get to a point of, you know what, I'm starting to see, I'm starting to see the error of my ways and where they actually stem from. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why I started Friendship Coach is because I truthfully wanted to be that sacred girlfriend, you know, that person who you felt very comfortable with, but you knew that conversation was always going to be just between you and I was always going to hold your hand through it. I always had your best interest at heart. I was an ear to listen, you know, a voice of reason. And so I pat myself on the back because, you know, being a life coach is one thing, but being a friendship coach, and I know it can sound like when I say friendship coach, I talk about, you know, speaking to women and friendships and stuff like that and trying to maintain and hold on to friendships. But I also know the meaning of the friendship coach is to be your confidant, a person you can rely on, so on and so forth. So I'm really proud of the platform that I've created. And, you know, there are so many subjects, you guys, that I want to speak on. But how do you feel? How do you feel about this? Like, are you open to, you know, looking beyond your city, looking beyond your borders, getting out of the rivers and the lakes and crossing oceans because love may be waiting for you there? I think it's an interesting conversation. There was once an actual reality TV show. I think it was on Bravo. And it was about these women who went over to Italy to try to find love. Now, to me, it was a reality show. You can't force love. You know what I mean? You really can't force it. So when I see things like The Bachelor and stuff like that, I just feel like relationships can't. That's just the one thing that just naturally has to happen. You have to have chemistry, so on and so forth. But the idea of, you know, going to Italy or going somewhere else, especially as a Black woman, and being open to dating and going on dates with someone who had a different experience and, you know, could talk on different subjects, and he could teach you something, you could teach him something. I thought the concept was beautiful. Speaking of Italy, you guys, Italy is one of my favorite places. This is a sidebar, and I really want to go to Italy and travel around Italy to some of the places I hadn't been. Like, I still haven't been to Lake Como. I haven't been to the Amalfi Coast. I want to go to Sicily because I heard their food. Like, I just want to go for my birthday, just to different cities I haven't been to in Italy. But I went and checked their numbers. Things are not looking good. Like, COVID, please go away, because you are a bummer right now. I think this alcohol is causing my nasal passages to clog up. I feel a little stuffy already off two sips. Okay, but going back to what I said, how do you guys feel? Are you open? For those of you who are single, how open are you to, you know, like, if you travel with your girlfriend, say to Italy, say to, what's another place that they, because it needs to be somewhere they speak English, unless you are multilingual, like speak multiple languages. Would you be open to going on a date? You know, outside of, you know, safely meeting up at a coffee shop, doing something. Would you be open to it? Because it seemed like the men all day, every day, they don't mind. I mean, how many TV shows do we see about men and, you know, well, even before TV shows, honey, they was doing what is mail order brides. So they've always been kind of open to being with women outside of what they feel, outside of the lakes and the rivers. When are we gonna wake up? That was a sip. I'm still feeling okay. Let me cover up these boobs, y'all. Let me cover up these boobs for those who watch this. For those who watch this on YouTube, I am recording this particular episode because I want to start getting more engagement on YouTube. So I figured I would let you see what the behind the scenes is going on. Excuse me. See what I'm saying? What's going on over here? And girls, ladies, best friends, sister, girlfriend, we need to talk about this. And I'm tired of all these people coming up with different way. Like, I don't even want to say these people names, but I keep seeing online and on Instagram and YouTube, you know, different people having different opinions about women and why they don't have a mate. Women who say that they are not a life coach, but a relationship. They don't call themselves relationship coaches. They say they're matchmakers. And they charge a lot of money. I mean, I've heard upwards of $60,000 to be matched to a person. And let me tell you something. If I'm paying $60,000, 60, to meet a man, that's, he best be perfect. Now, you could cross these borders and try your luck for free. Because it's already paid for. You know, you already paid for it in your trip now. Yeah, I'm just saying. It's a thought. All right, well, guys, I'm going to wrap this up. I wanted to just put that on your mind. Let's cross these borders. Be open to, you know, a different experience. Does he have to be 20 within a 20 mile? He may not even look. I'm not in Georgia. If you in Georgia, he may not be in North Carolina. I mean, truthfully, when I met my husband, I lived in Georgia. He lived in Virginia. That man drove from the weekend that I met him, you guys. It was a weekend of Valentine's Day. It was like the day after Valentine's Day. From that week, that weekend that came up, he drove 9 miles. I mean, I'm sorry, 9 hours to see me every single weekend. He would get off work. He would get in his car. He would drive from Virginia to Georgia to be able to spend basically like 24 hours with me, because he would come on Friday. He would get there late. And then we would spend all day Saturday together. Sunday, we couldn't do much because he had to get back on the road. Like, we did that for months. I think that's why we got engaged so fast, because, come on, like, who gonna do this forever? Who's gonna do this forever? So, I mean, I was locked in 6 months. But I was told, you know, when a man finds his lady, it don't take, they say that really a man know within 30 to 90 days that's his wife. I mean, truthfully. So those of you, again, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. Definitely not. But those of you who are and have dated for multiple years, you've been with your boyfriend for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, and he still ain't bought the ring, I really don't want to have an opinion. But the only time I feel like that's valid or it will work is if you met him in high school. So if you met him in high school and y'all was 15 and you dated him like all of high school, like I don't really even count that. So if he buys the ring for you, say after you get out of college or something like that, that's fine. But if you met a man like after college, you working, he's working in said industries, and you met him at, let's say, 25, he was 30. Now you 30, he 35. I'm gonna put a pin in that. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm going to put a pin in that and you figure that out for yourself. Because at 35, he should know. 35, I would be telling him, baby, your clock is ticking. Not my clock. Your clock is ticking. I don't have that much time. Life is not that... Honey, life is not that long. How you give somebody 5, 10 years of your life? And I know y'all be cheating. Shoot. Ain't no way in 5 or 10 years. 5 or 10 years. 10. I know people that's been together 10 years. They get married, the relationship, the marriage lasts 1 year. But I ain't gonna say why. Let me get out y'all business. Let me get out y'all business. Let me get out y'all business. I love y'all though. I hope you love me back. So we will see each other now. Look, y'all pray for me that I don't get sick so I can start getting these out. I start getting these out like I need to. Start getting them out. Oh, before I go, I'm going to start heading over to Clubhouse. And my first Clubhouse I'm going to do is, I think it's the first week of March, I'm going to do a collaboration with the girl from Bougie Girl. Her name is Miranda. We're going to do a little something together on friendship and stuff like that with the women. So I'll post on my Instagram when I'm actually going to be doing the Clubhouse. I know it's going to be on a Thursday, and I'm going to start doing the Clubhouse with different subjects so you guys can see me or hear me on Clubhouse. I'm going to start talking brief. I'm going to do short stuff on YouTube because I feel like YouTube visually, like, it's better. I'm snapping. Visually, like, if you could get something within like 15, 20 minute videos on YouTube, good. And of course, I'll be doing a podcast. If you want to get in contact with me, please go to friendshipcoaching.com. Set up an appointment, girl, and we can talk. We can chat. We are here. We will solve the problem or the issue. I love you guys, and I will see you soon. Bye-bye.